Senate Committee on Revenue, Monday, January 29, 8:30 a.m., Hearing Room A. Public hearing and possible work session, tape 022, side A.
Good morning, and welcome to the Senate Revenue Committee. Today we have several bills to look at. I'll ask Mr. Warner to orient the committee to that pile of paper that you have on your in front of you. Mr. Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You do have, let's see, one, two, seven bills before you. However, five of them are bills that, in discussions between Chair Ferrioli and Chair Roger Beyer, it was agreed that five of them would probably best be dealt with in the Committee on Business, Labor, and Economic Development. And those bills are Senate Bill 20, Senate Bill 277, Senate Bill 280, Senate Bill 281, and Senate Bill 282. They all deal with really commerce, their issues revolving around the accounting industry, regulation of accountants, and so they're best looked at in a block, really, by that committee.
Colleagues, in keeping with the model of efficiency that we've established for the committee, we're transferring this work to some other committee. Actually, these are accountancy fee bills and authorizing charges. This is something that you may have heard from the accounting lobby and the folks from that represent certified public accountants. Apparently, there are some authorizations that are not currently in statute that reflect current practice. So these bills are going to go out in referral. And have we requested, we have a requested re-referral, or have we not?
What you need to do with the committee today is to refer those to Business, Labor, and Economic Development.
And have we asked for any subsequent referral back to revenue? I believe if there's any revenue impact, and there would be, that we'd get them anyway. So. Colleagues, do I need to open a work session on that?
Yes.
I do. Let's open a work session on Senate Bill 20, 277, 280, 281, and 282. Those are all the accountancy bills. Oh, and 284.
And 284?
Is that 284
also?
Yes.
Yes. So those are the bills. We're going to open a work session on those. The chair would entertain a motion to refer these bills.
Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Beyer.
Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate Bills 20, 277, 280, 281, 282, and 284 be referred to the Senate Committee on Commerce.
Business, Labor,
and Economic Development. With the request that if there's any fiscal impact, revenue impact, that they be referred to this committee after they finish their work.
Senator Beyer moves the bills to a committee on business, labor, and economic development with a subsequent re-referral to our committee if there's any fiscal impact or any revenue impact. Is there any questions on the motion?
Mr. Chair, I have some very deep concerns for Senator Starr's already overloaded schedule and the fact that he and I are also on that other committee. And it's one thing to be referring stuff to other committees, but you're not being very judicious about which committee you're referring those to. And Senator Starr is already way over his head here. He's way overworked. And I think you ought to give due consideration to that. I won't oppose your motion, but I just want to be realistic here in the halls of justice. Thank you very much.
Senator, you are in the halls of revenue. So
there's no justice in revenue? No. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted that on the record.
As injudicious as we wish. Senator Starr, did you have a comment?
I did. I couldn't let this go by without a response.
He was listening.
I have a job shadow with me today, and we've been showing up here in front of young Paul Miller, who's sitting back here in the audience. He's shadowing me today, and I want him to know that I'm never over my depth, and I will proceed to do good work in spite of the workload.
Welcome, Mr. Miller. You have selected an excellent senator to follow, and a good role model, and I hope your day here is successful. Senator, will he be here just for the day or for...
I believe just for the day.
Well, Senator Starr, it's quite evident that Senator Corcoran, who's an able member of your other committee, has already become a shadow in your life in that committee.
That would be me, Mr. Chair. Total shadow.
Anyway, thank you very much. Any other questions or other irrelevant commentary on these bills that we're referring out? If not, are there any objections to the motion to refer? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Close the work session on the Senate Bills 20, 277, 280, 281, 284. Mr. Warner, what have we before us?
Mr. Chair, we have two bills to consider for the committee. The first is Senate Bill 422, which comes to you from the Revenue. It's relating to really the enforcement of the cigarette tax. The second one is Senate Bill 426, which is comes to you also from Department of Revenue, but one that you had heard earlier, and is back before you for to finish your work on it.
Let's open the work session and public hearing and work session on 426, which is the bill on watercraft that we previously heard. Colleagues, as you remember, there was questions about the Snake River Dam workers and others that might be working in watercraft on the Snake. Our bill consideration focused mostly on the Columbia River. We talked about the issue of those folks serving on watercraft who may find their income subject to taxation in not only Oregon, but perhaps in multiple states. And what I'll do is refer this issue to our committee staff to bring us up to speed on what was discovered in the inquiries that were made in Idaho, and then also to recap the bill for the committee's pleasure.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'll recap the bill. It deals with non-resident income tax issues. Specifically, it exempts income or compensation earned by non-resident crews of interstate vessels operating on Oregon waters. It cancels outstanding tax assessments owed by non-resident crews for tax years since 1993. And it authorizes refunds for taxes paid by non-resident crews for tax years since 1993. Also, we did see but didn't consider or have introduced amendments which move effective date from 1990 or the tax years, the date for tax years owed or paid by non-resident crews from 1993 back to 1986. Those are the dash one amendments which were distributed last time. The bill also extends the current exemption allowed for federal employees working on Columbia River hydroelectric dams to include independent contractors. Effective date for that provision is 1997. And the bill establishes a gross income filing threshold for non-resident filers, and that threshold is set equal to the Oregon standard deduction amount, effective with the 2002 tax year. As I mentioned, we have the dash one amendments affecting the date for the non-resident crews. As the chair mentioned, we had an inquiry into whether Snake River hydroelectric workers operating on the Oregon-Idaho border were affected by this or needed to be included in our bill. Regarding that, I did have a conversation with Mr. John Brenneman, who's representing Idaho Power, and he asked that we not include his people in provisions of Senate Bill 426. He said that he understood, his understanding was that all of their employees worked in Oregon, so were actually Oregon residents, and didn't need relief from this bill regarding non-resident income tax payers. The other thing that we did was we took a look at the revenue impact, specifically the part due to the gross income threshold for non-resident filers, and we were able to identify for several prior years, prior tax years, about 5,000, average of about 5,000 filers who under these, under this new gross income filing threshold would no longer be required to file Oregon income tax returns. Their average tax liability was about $40 per return. So that that's a revenue impact of about $200,000 per tax year, or $400,000 per biennium. I passed out a dash one version of the draft revenue impact statement that was distributed last time, but I think that it should change. I'm sorry, the number in there should be minus 200,000. For 0103 and minus 400,000 for 0305. And I'll make that change when I draft the final paperwork for the A engrossed version of the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Minnis.
Question on that point. Was there any analysis done with respect to any savings the Department of Revenue may have by not having to process 5,000 returns?
That would be, some administrators in the committee, that would be included in the fiscal portion of the statement.
Says there isn't any impact.
Some administrators of the committee, I think that the savings would be fairly small because the number of filers is relatively small and compared with the total workload, total number of filers that the department deals with on an annual basis.
Yet another question.
Follow up.
Well, does the Department of Revenue have any idea what it costs on average per filer to process a tax return?
Senator Minnis, members of the committee, I imagine that they do. We have a representative from the Department of Revenue who may be able to address that.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman Ferrioli, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Oregon Department of Revenue. Senator Minnis, I'm sure that information is available. I don't have it with me, but I believe Ed is right that the 5,000 returns would be fairly minimal. We process over 1.5 million returns per year. So on a per return basis, I'm sure it would be quite small, the savings that we would realize.
Let's just call it de minimis and move on, huh?
Thank you, Senator. Any further considerations? Are we going to insist that Mr. Brenneman pick up the slack for any of the taxpayers that don't...
you got screwed on this bill.
Yeah, that aren't happy with the outcome of this.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
You know, my thought was just about that, and the, from the standpoint that there certainly sometime in the future is going to be someone who would be on the other side. And does anyone have any thought as to whether we ought to make that provision now?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that once this bill moves, which I plan to do today, that the word will go forth, and that those that may have other opinion certainly would be invited to contact the House Revenue Committee, because obviously they're going to see it as well. I bet we'll hear from that one person. That will be negatively affected. Colleagues, we have the dash ones now. Is it staff's recommendation that we need the dash one?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Move the dash one amendments.
Dash ones have been moved. Are there any questions on the committee? Any discussion? Hearing and seeing no question ordered. Colleagues, we need to move this bill forward. Mr. Vice Chair.
I would move Senate Bill 426 as amended to the floor with it be passed.
Colleagues, the motion is to move 426 to the floor with a due pass. Any questions? Any concerns, considerations, or objections? Hearing and seeing none, so order. We need a carrier for this bill. Senator Breyer, would you care to carry this bill? It's, it affects folks largely in my district and all across the Columbia, but I think they didn't have the ability to explain the bill very well for our colleagues on the floor, so I'd like to ask you to carry the bill. So ordered, Senator Breyer will carry. Colleagues, we have Measure 422, Senate Bill 422, and we'll ask the staff to recap the bill for the governor, or for the governor, for the committee. This was a request of the governor for the Department of Revenue. This relates to tobacco. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, Dick Yates with Legislative Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Yates. I beg your pardon. Let's close the work session on the previous bill, Senate Bill 426. Open a public hearing work session on Senate Bill 422. Thank you.
This is a bill from the Department of Revenue essentially dealing with deficiencies and cancellation of tax due penalties and interest. In Section 2, you get a new provision applying to the other, deals with cigarette or tobacco products in general. Section 2 deals with the other tobacco products. It allows the department to make an assessment against the firm that's, that has reported when the department finds an evidence that the amount reported was underreported by 25% or more. It allows a five-year window in which the department may make this assessment. In Section 4, well, in Section 3, then it makes this that change effective January 1 of 2001. Section 4, in the first part, is simply cleaning up the language a little bit, given that you have a change below. Section 2 deletes the exclusion, Section 2 as it stands applies confidentiality provisions to cigarette tax returns. And this would delete that so that the information supplied there by wholesalers would become public information. 305, 205, then in section, or 265 in section 5, deals with, as I said, cancellation of tax penalty or interest. And what the change does here is essentially make the cigarette taxes, you see on line 1 of page 2, where the ORS 323.005 to 323.455 are deleted. Those are cigarette tax statutes. And so it makes the provisions of this section, which relate to cancellation of tax, apply to cigarette tax. The only other change then in the bill is change of wording, deleting the word shall. And the bill becomes the changes there with respect to the provisions of this section are effective with the effective date of this bill.
Mr. Chair?
Senator George.
Page 1, line 22. Why would we want to not have the confidentiality in the returns? I can see that if there's penalties related, that would be public information, but why eliminate confidentiality in the returns?
The department can speak to that, their request.
Should we bring the department forward, and Department of Revenue, to answer the question about confidentiality of returns?
Chairman Farioli, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Oregon Department of Revenue. Senator George, to your question, the bill is actually reinstating the confidentiality provisions. What we had in 1999 was two separate bills that were passed. One eliminated confidentiality of cigarette, other tobacco tax reports. The other bill put in confidentiality provisions. So there were two conflicting provisions in two different bills. And because the one removing confidentiality was signed later, that's the one that took effect. So what we're saying with this legislation is that we believe cigarette tax reports should be confidential.
Okay. Collins, you have a summary that's just been distributed. On page one, item sections 4 and 5.
Mr. Chair.
It deals with the reinstatement. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why should they be confidential?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, probably for the reason that most businesses would want their tax information to be confidential with the department. They inform us of who they're doing business with, how much business they're doing, the volume. If that's public information, a competitor could have access to that when the business may not especially want that. And it is to conform with the other tax return provisions, confidentiality with the income tax, individual and corporate provisions.
Do you know the history of why the conflicting amendments were passed in the last session?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, my understanding is that the bill brought forward from the Attorney General's office was to allow us to share information with them as part of the cigarette tax settlement agreement. And it inadvertently opened up the records to not just the Attorney General's office, but to the public as well.
So in this particular fix, legislative fix, do we still allow the Attorney General information?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, yes, we do.
And can you, sir, can you share it with other state agencies?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, my understanding is that it would be limited to what is in the statute as far as what we have to share with other agencies. Now there's a list of a dozen or more different entities that we can share information with in the statute. Now this would add the cigarette tax returns and reports to the same treatment that individual returns and corporate returns are given.
Thank you.
Senator Beyer and colleagues, we're also considering, or actually have moved in for, at least this committee's been exposed to the information from the bill that would broaden the reporting requirements to those distributors who are not selling in Oregon. So I think when taken as a whole, our committee work will broaden the picture of tobacco movements and storage within the state of Oregon. So this to me seems like tightening up some imprecise drafting from the last legislative session and also reinstating the confidentiality issues. Senator Miss, question?
Mr. Chairman, I understand what's been purported here in terms of reinstating confidentiality of provisions, but I'm unclear as to where that provision is in statute.
Section 4 and 5, could I get a specific reference, please?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, on lines 22 through 24 of page 1 of the bill, the deletion of subsection 2 will then make those reports.
How?
This is the typical vote yes meaning no, vote no meaning yes.
I want to know what the lineage is here, where it's linked up. Looks to me like it's deleting confidentiality. You're telling us that it reinstates it. There must be some other provision.
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, the existing language in subsection 2 says that the provisions relating to the confidentiality do not apply to reports, returns, et cetera, related to cigarettes.
Do not apply.
Do not apply, yes, sir.
All right. So then where's the other provision that says they are confidential?
Was the provision in ORS 305 to 314 a confidentiality waiver?
Mr. Chair, the provisions in 305 and 314, I don't have the specific statute that provides that the returns are confidential. I believe, just off the top of my head, that it's ORS 314.380, but I can confirm that. and that establishes the confidentiality.
I just want to make sure for the record that we've done that, so that it's clear that we're doing what we think we're doing.
Right.
Yeah, we have a set of ORSs right here. We'll just pull that section and verify that. Any other questions for the committee while staff looks at the section reference in ORS 305? You think that was 314.
380, I believe.
The pool is starting.
Or perhaps 840. Mr. Chair, may I just also add, explain the other provision in this bill?
Yes, ma'am.
Not related to confidentiality.
Yes, ma'am.
Other statutes in Oregon law provide the department with a five-year period for assessing or asserting deficiencies when there's a gross understatement of income on the return. The other tobacco products tax is not based on gross income, but is instead based on net purchases. So it was not clear to the department whether we could use that five-year window to assert a deficiency within 5 years. And it's simply clarifying that the five-year window will apply when there's a substantial understatement in those cases.
So we've basically eliminated the ambiguity between 3 and 5 years and established the five-year window if there's a substantial understatement.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Question? Senator George?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deb, are we looking at circumstances where we're that far behind in auditing, or is it just that someone might say you might want to take a look at so-and-so based upon the reporting and see you'd want a window big enough to maybe pick that up?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, I think where this comes into play most is if we have an auditor who is working in the 3 years, and they find that there's a pattern of under-reporting substantial amounts,
right.
That lets them go back and pick up some revenue from the prior 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? Senator Minnis.
We don't have an emergency clause, but we have an effective date, 91st day after signing it. Why is that the case?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, the as I understand the bill that was passed last time, it's an effective date of January 1 of the following year, unless stated otherwise. And there didn't seem to be any reason not to put the 91st day rather than go to January 1st, and that would allow us to implement the law within 90 days of sine die.
Okay. There's no specific reason to do that other than you want to implement it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, that's correct.
Sounds like a good idea, right?
Okay. Further questions?
Mr. Chair, the citation, I believe, is 314.835, relating to divulging particulars of returns and reports prohibited, and it does prevent the Department of Revenue or any officer or employee of the department to divulge or make known in any manner the amount of income, expense, deduction, exclusion, or credit, or any particulars set forth or disclosed in any report or return.
So, for the record, if you could... note, colleagues, that 314.835 is the citation on divulging the particulars of returns, and that is the that is within the sections 305 and 314 relating to confidentiality. So by reference, what we're doing is reestablishing the confidentiality provisions.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions on the issues of confidentiality? Colleagues, we're in work session. We need to move this bill forward.
No amendments, right?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I would move Senate Bill 422 to the floor with a due pass.
Colleagues, Senator Beyer's moved Senate Bill 422 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions on the motion? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, then so ordered. We need a carrier for this bill. Do we have a volunteer who wants to bring this forward? If not, the chair will carry. A volunteer? The chair carries. Do we have any further business for the committee?
Please.
I don't believe we do. We'll ask Mr. Warner to remind the committee members what we have scheduled for the week ahead. And then in keeping with the tradition of the model of efficiency that we've established for the committee.
The Bill Referral Committee.
The Bill Referral Committee. Mr. Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have scheduled your last meeting devoted to orientation tomorrow. And Dick's going to go through with you the timber tax system And as we've said on a number of occasions, we did have major timber tax reform last session. There's still some pieces left, decisions to be made, so this will give you the context to do that. The other thing that we have been working on, and we'll have done ready for you this afternoon, is a look at the federal legislation and what that means in terms of individual school districts. And we will be distributing that to everyone this afternoon, and that may be another topic to discuss tomorrow in the context of the timber tax issue, because, as you know, federal legislation proposes to significantly...
...us to implement the law within 90 days of sine die.
There's no specific reason to do that, other than you want to